Get your Bibles out now, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, please. Everybody turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, find verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. Once you find it, would you go ahead and stand with me, please? Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you, and then we're going to another passage of Scripture. Ephesians 3:19, the Bible says this, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Here God is telling us that we ought to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a unique statement to me. I love what it's saying. Then the next verse, it talks about doing something that's exceedingly and abundantly. It's big. And he uses the word power there. There is something available. There's a power. Now, quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 5. No, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you find Galatians, then find verse number 5. I'm sorry, chapter number 5, verse number 22. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to read these out loud. I'll pray and then get started. The Bible says this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." God mentioned to us about being filled with the fullness of God because there's something that's big and there's a power available. Well, that power, a part of that is the Spirit of God. And then God tells us about these things called the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight I want to talk to you about this. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, bless us now. I ask, Lord, that there would not be interruption that's inappropriate this evening. But Father, we certainly want you to reach down from heaven. Help us, Lord, as we look at a doctrine, a wonderful opportunity, by the way, that's available to us, this teaching of the power of God, this teaching of the Spirit of God. Lord, help someone to get it. Help someone not just to be educated by what's said tonight, but to be transformed by what's preached tonight. And might all of us be better Christians, and might we make an impact on our world as a result of our obedience to the Scripture. Holy Spirit of God, tonight, you're the subject. We need your help to make clear what you are, what you can do, and what you expect of us. Holy Spirit, get involved, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you notice there in Ephesians 3, verse 19 and 20, God said, he said, I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God. He said, there's a power that is available. That power comes to you and I in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. We read a list of the fruit of the Spirit just a moment ago. Let me explain something. When you were saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. He came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and he is sealed in there. I want you to understand, some people get a little confused about something. Salvation is not a process, it's an act. The moment you ask Jesus to save you, you're saved. It is not a progression. There might have been some things that were invested in you to get you interested in salvation, but when you get saved, it happens, and you're saved. Now, the Holy Spirit moves into you at salvation, and he longs for something. He longs to be allowed to be in all the parts of your heart. He wants to be in all your emotions. He wants to be in your mind. He wants to be in your life. Now, at salvation, you received all of him, but you didn't necessarily give him all of you. He's inside you. But that doesn't mean that you've allowed him to expand his influence to full capacity. So when you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in. And it's almost as if he was put in there, and you have to choose whether you'll give him full reign to go into all parts of your life. To be filled with the Spirit means that we have let the Holy Spirit that lives within us have freedom to go into all the different parts of our life. He's able to flow into and covers every nook and cranny of our lives. I want to show you by way of an illustration. I'm going to let that I'll call it a glass, in here, that dark stuff, that's what you and I were before we got saved. When you got saved, inside you was some dirty, nasty stuff. The worst thing that was inside you was disbelief. And when you got saved, you turned from your disbelief to belief and you got born again. But inside us is that dirty, nasty, negative. That's the sin. That's the bad part of us. Now, I'm going to put that right there. At salvation, you got saved. And the Holy Spirit came into you. I'm going to let this picture the oil of the Holy Spirit. So when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you. As you submit to Him, there's a purity that begins to happen in your life. So, the Holy Spirit's coming in. And you just watch what happens. As He fills you, the bad surfaces and is eliminated from your life. Now, to me, that right there is exciting. When you got saved, He came in. As He fills your life, the negative, the unproductive, the unfruitful things rise to the top. If it were a purification process that had to do with gold or silver, you'd call that came to the top the dross. But as He fills us, there's a purification process. And folks, let me tell you something. Once we're full, once we've let Him fill us, once we let Him into every part of our life, we do better at anything we do. We are successful spiritually with what we do. So, at salvation, He moved in. You must choose to let Him affect you fully. You must submit to Him so He has access to every area of your life. He wants to flow into every nook and cranny. Now, you say, well, how does that happen? Well, that's not some emotional thing. That is obedience to the Scripture. That's submission to the Holy Spirit of God. So, that same Holy Spirit that affects us here on the church property, do you know that it's to affect us off the property as well? You know that the same Holy Spirit that affects us at church on Sunday should go home with us for Monday and for Tuesday and for Wednesday. You say, oh yeah, but preacher, Wednesday's church night. I understand. But He's to affect us on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So I should let Him into every part of my life. Now, I'm going to make three applications to this, and I want you to listen real carefully. To some of you, you'll say, oh, I've heard all this before. A little refresher won't hurt you. And I could tell you that because I would just ask this question. Are you, right this moment, filled with the Holy Ghost of God? So I would think all of us need to set up and listen carefully as we're reminded of this important doctrine. First of all, let me say this. The Holy Spirit's power should be used for our church responsibilities. The Holy Spirit's power should be used as we serve God around the church. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it uses these words, "And of His fullness have all we received." Remember, the name of the sermon is Be Filled with All the Fullness of God. Folks, when we serve Jesus and we're doing our spiritual duties, we ought to do them in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ought to do them while we're submitted to the Holy Spirit. See, God's work is to be done in God's power. Soul winning is a work of God. It ought to be done in God's power. Teaching a Sunday school class, that is God's work. And God's work ought to be done in God's power. Sunday school teachers, let me give you one of the most powerful tools for discipline in class and keeping order in class. It's not 15 rules that you print up and post on the wall. It's you being filled with the power of God. Now, that might not solve all discipline matters in Sunday school, but it will put you a far cry ahead of you trying to control a bunch of fleshly students while you personally are in the flesh. So, the Holy Spirit's power is to be used for our church responsibilities. Hey, assistant Sunday school teacher, you say, well, I'm not even teaching. Oh, but you're there for a purpose. Every assistant Sunday school teacher in here ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. You think because it's not your week to teach that it's okay for you to come to Sunday school in the flesh. I think you ought to take that up with the God of the universe. I do not think that's how He planned it. Hey, bus captain, captaining a church bus route, that's God's work. And God's work is to be done in God's power. Singing in the choir, that's God's work. You ought to sing in the choir and sing in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Ushering is God's work. You should not usher in the flesh. You should usher in the Spirit. You should be filled with the Spirit of God when you usher in the house of God. Being a greeter, a host, a hostess, that is God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Children's church workers, that is God's work. And as you work with those children in primary church or junior church, it should not be done in your power. You should not be dependent on your personality. You should not be dependent even on what you'd call your ministry training. And I'm glad that you got it, but there is no better ministry training. There is no better ministry tool than the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Working in King's Kids is God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Working in Flyers Club, that's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Working in Youth Ablaze, that's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Cleaning around the house of God, that's God's work. You say, but Pastor, it's only janitorial. Yeah, janitorial in the church for which God died, the place that Jesus died for. Hey, you're going to be a custodian around the church. You ought to do it in God's power. Being a bus worker is God's work, ought to be done in God's power. Driving a church bus, that's God's work. You ought to drive in God's power. Being a youth worker, that's God's work. You ought to do it in God's power. Working around the church office, that's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Hey, you work on the grounds or work and do maintenance around the church, that is God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. You're a part of the Meals of Mercy ministry. That's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. You're a part of the hospitality ministry. That's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. You help with the fellowship ministry. That's God's work. It ought to be done in God's power. Every child that's ever put in that nursery over there ought to have a nursery worker that is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You shouldn't have all that nasty stuff hidden away in your life. You ought to be filled to capacity, filled with all the fullness of God. That's what makes the work of God great. That's what makes the work of God powerful. That's what changes lives. That's what makes a church unique. It's God's work. Now, I would say, though not all of us are obedient to what I just said, I would say all of us would agree. We would say God's work should be done in God's power. But you need to know something. It does not stop there. It does not stop there at all. Look this way and don't talk. You see, the Holy Spirit's power should be used for our church responsibilities. But secondly, the Holy Spirit's power is not just for your labor around the church. The Holy Spirit's fullness is not just for your labor around the church. You say, what's it for? Everything. Everything. When he said, being filled with all the fullness of God, he wasn't talking about just when you preach. That's not what he was talking about. He's talking about being filled 7 days a week, every waking hour. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. You see, we're to allow the Holy Spirit to fill all the areas of our life. Now, there are some that would come to church and they wouldn't even let the Holy Spirit fill their church time. They'll come to church in the flesh. They'll serve God in the flesh. They won't submit to the Spirit. And so they pretty well want to just live in the flesh. But wait a minute. There are some people that they got saved and they decided they wanted the Holy Spirit to expand in their life. They said, you know what? If I'm coming to church, I want to come to church and submit myself to the Holy Spirit. And if I'm going to serve God, I want to do that in the Spirit. And I think we'd all agree that's necessary. But wait, it goes further than that. God did not want us just to be filled with the Spirit when we were singing in the choir. God wanted you to be filled with the Spirit when you were singing at home. He said, but what I was singing at home is not something that the Spirit of God would help me with. Then I guess you shouldn't be singing it. Amen. You see, we're not to depend on the Holy Spirit just on Sunday. And for some of you, this is new. I think you would agree, preacher, we should be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You thought the Lord's Day was Sunday. Monday's the Lord's Day, too. Tuesday's the Lord's Day, too. So is Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. They're all the Lord's Day. I could not tell you how many churches practice religion on Sunday and on Monday they live like the devil. It's not supposed to be that way. We are to submit to the Lord and submit to that Holy Spirit, be controlled, be filled on Sunday. We're to be controlled on Wednesday night. That's church night. But we are to serve Him and be filled every day, all day. Now, let me explain. Let me help your marriage. Be filled with the Spirit in your marriage. You want to fix your marriage. I don't care what's wrong with it. The best way to do it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to have a happier marriage? Make sure as you make decisions, you are filled with the Spirit of God. The treatment of your mate ought to be dominated not by your flesh and not even by the best part of you, but the best part of God. In your marriage, if you'll be filled with the Spirit in your relationship, in your marriage, it will be so much better. Let me tell you, any marriage in here that had tension this week, I'll guarantee you, when the moment the tension came, somebody was in the flesh. More than likely, two somebodies. And more than likely, it didn't get better, it got worse. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love? Well, that's what our marriages need. Joy, well, they need that. Peace, oh, they need that. Long-suffering, oh, yeah. Gentleness, goodness. What are those things? They're the fruit of the Spirit. We should be filled with the Spirit of God in our marriages. You see, if that glass that I used had compartments, there's some of you, you have allowed the Holy Spirit to fill the compartment of your church attendance, but you've not let Him fill the compartment of your marriage. That will help your marriage. Get that nasty stuff out by allowing the Holy Spirit to expand into your marital relationship. Not only that, you want help with your child rearing? If that glass could have another compartment, that compartment could be child rearing. If you try to rear your children in the flesh, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You'll be far more tense. You say, what is needed in my child rearing? Maybe some love, some joy, some peace, some long suffering, some gentleness, some goodness, a big stick.
But I'm telling you, there are some of you, you have not filled or allowed the compartment of child rearing in your life to be filled with the Spirit, so you don't have the power and the success that you would have. Let me tell you something, parents. There's some of you, you are making life-altering and life-changing decisions as you guide your children. You say, well, I'm pretty smart, but you can't outsmart the devil, and you're not superior to the God of the universe. And if you want to be good at rearing children, let the Holy Spirit fill the compartment of your child-rearing life. You're to be filled with the Spirit. Let me help you with your finances. You want to have good finances? I'd let the Holy Spirit fill the compartment of your life that is the decision part of your finances. This sounds like a question a preacher would ask. You're about to spend money. You're about to make a change. You're about to do something financially. Are you filled with the Spirit when you make that decision? Your worst financial decisions have been made when you made them in the flesh. So, Pastor, I'm thinking about buying a house. What do you recommend? First thing, don't you dare buy a house unless you're filled with the Spirit for that decision. You say, well, what good will that do me? I can talk to you about all sorts of Christians that made the decision that didn't have the Holy Spirit leading them while they did it. This country was turned upside down financially and almost crumbled from people buying houses in the flesh. Hey, you spend beyond your means in the flesh, not in the Spirit. You don't pay your bills like you should in the flesh. Doesn't happen in the Spirit. You steal God's tithe in the flesh. Doesn't happen when you're filled in the Spirit. You see, if that glass right there, if it were compartmentalized, there are people in here, you say, well, hey, when I'm singing in the choir, I want to be filled in the Spirit. And so you let your choir singing compartment be filled. It's expanded with the Holy Spirit. But you don't run your checkbook that way. You see, when the Bible talks about being filled with all the fullness of God, it's talking about taking your religion home with you. It's talking about letting the Spirit of God expand into every nook and cranny of your life. Let me tell you how some of you would do better at work. Walk in the Spirit at work. Some of you cause yourself grief. You're surrounded by people of the flesh. You're surrounded by Christians, if they're saved, that are probably in the flesh. And you're also surrounded by lost people who are definitely in the flesh. So if you're surrounded by lost people in the flesh who are fleshly, and then saved people that are not filled with the Spirit, and you walk in and you're in the flesh, you've got a problem. You need the Holy Spirit at work. How you'll act toward others. The jokes that you'll listen to. The Holy Spirit has never led any Christian at work to listen to filthy jokes. It was your flesh that brought that. Never one time has the Holy Spirit led you, sir or ma'am, who's married, to flirt with the opposite sex at work. The Holy Spirit never led you to do that. You did that because you were not filled with the Holy Ghost of God at work. Because you minimize the work of the Holy Spirit to the day that you were singing in the choir. Or the day you walked in the back door of the church, you said, well, that's God's house. Can I tell you something? Your house is God's house also. Everywhere you go, you're to be filled with the Spirit. Not just down at the building that we call the house of God. So, Let the compartment of your marriage be filled with the Spirit. Let the compartment of your child rearing be filled with the Spirit. Let your finances be filled with the Spirit. Your work, your job be filled with the Spirit at work. In regard to your entertainments, where you go, what you watch, what you listen to, what you hear. Let the compartment of those things that entertain you in life, let that compartment be filled with the Spirit. Young people, the Holy Spirit of God has never led you to play filthy video games that have nudity and rock music in it. Never. God's never led that. That has been done in your flesh. You have chosen that. If you want to succeed in life, let the Holy Spirit of God fill every compartment. When you got saved, you got all of Him. He just didn't get all of you. Your life is compartmentalized. And we are to allow Him to flow into every nook and cranny of life. And let me tell you something. When you let Him flow, the impurities in that area of life surface. You are filled with the Spirit, and that Spirit purifies your life. It gives you power in that area of life and success in that area of life. Your goals in life. Can I recommend that you set your goals while you're in the Spirit, while you're filled with the Spirit? What are your goals? Some of you, you have goals, but they're your goals. They're not God's goals. They're not goals that were set while you were in the Spirit. Does your life goal include purity and honesty? Hey, is your goal for your business going to keep you out of church? I've got news for you. You say, well, I set a goal, and it's a goal to work hard. I know people that set goals to work hard, but they work so hard, they never come to church. I've got news for you. That goal was not set when someone was filled with the Holy Spirit. God would never take somebody completely out of church because of work. He doesn't work that way. That's why God called Sunday a day of rest. You think He was just worried that you got to prop your feet up? No. He was concerned that you would get to God's house where you would get the spiritual rest and refreshment that you need. Hey, how about the compartment of your friendships in life? You ought to be filled with the Spirit in your friendship compartment. Be filled with the Spirit. Folks, you're better off with one spiritual friend than 20 in the flesh friends. Hey, you need friends that listen to God, not just listen to you. You say, I just need somebody to listen to me. You need friends that'll listen to God. That's what you need. You need friendships that will get you closer to God. Now, again, is your friendship one where you are filled with the Spirit and your friend is filled with the Spirit? That's the kind of friendship you're looking for. How about what I'll call the hidden areas of life? I think there are probably some people in here, you have some of these compartments and you say, you know what, my Sunday school teaching compartment, I want it filled up. My bus route, I want it filled up. My singing, I want it filled up. Oh, but you've got some compartments that you have them hidden behind a curtain. What's back there? You don't need to go back there. What's behind that curtain? I'm not going to let you behind my curtain. I'll promise you, there are compartments of people in this room that are full of that nasty stuff. And if you'd let the Holy Spirit get control of every nook and cranny, some of the impurities would rise to the top of your life and we'd get rid of them. Folks, let me tell you how to have good relationships. Be filled with the Spirit. You tell me what relationship you're struggling with in life. I cannot make you be filled with the Spirit and you can't make me, but I can help me to be filled with the Spirit. I can give all of me, and I can't make you give all of you. If we have a relationship, I can't make you give all of you, but I can give all of me. And everybody here, you ought to do what you can to be filled with the Spirit. Some of you, you talk to your boss, and you can't get along with your boss, and I'm going to tell you one reason why. You talk to him in the flesh. Now, I can't promise you that they won't be in the flesh. But I can promise you this, God will be pleased if when you talk to your boss, if you do it, and you're filled with the Spirit when you do it, God will be pleased with your part. And that's all you have control over. There's some of you, you don't get along with your neighbor. And I'm not talking about just anybody out there in the world. I'm talking about your next door neighbor. Their dog chewed up your shoe. Or their daughter chewed up your shoe. I don't know. But let me tell you this. You ought to be filled with the Spirit when you're dealing with your neighbor. So here's what happens. Something happens. They've got their property. You've got your property. You're upset. This is not right. So you storm over there to say your piece in the flesh. And you wonder why it's not going well. There's nothing wrong with you going and talking to your neighbor about the shoe that got chewed up. But I do it in the Spirit. Because fullness of Spirit brings power. Fullness of Spirit brings success in the Christian life. And if it brought no success, we were commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit. We're just to do it. Let me tell you how to get along with your enemy better. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'll tell you something. If you had an enemy that would like to destroy you and humiliate you and hurt you, it will take fullness of Spirit to extend a hand of love, to fix, to forgive, and to heal. There are some of you, if your vicious of enemy approached you today, you'd be in the flesh just like that. You don't fix problems in the flesh. You create problems in the flesh. You say, I'm not getting along with my landlord. I would recommend this. I'd recommend when you have dealings with your landlord that your landlord compartment be filled before you have discussion and exchange. Say, I don't get along with a coworker. I can't change the coworker, and neither can you, but you can let God change you. And while you're dealing with a coworker, be filled with the Spirit. Say, I've got some family members that are just impossible. Okay, they may be. But did you know that the Holy Spirit makes the impossible possible? And even if they are unbearable to deal with, you shouldn't be. There's a behavior that is the result of being filled with the Spirit. So, I said this. I told you the Bible talks about being filled with all the fullness of God. I said, number one, that the Holy Spirit's power should be used for our church and our spiritual responsibilities. But number two, it's not just for our spiritual responsibilities. It's for all our life. It's not just for Sunday. It's for all days. Our marriages, our child rearing, our finances, our jobs, our entertainments, our goals, our friendships, even the hidden areas of life, the relationships of life. I'll promise you this. The most unattractive areas of your life are the areas where you're not filled with the Spirit. You remember that nasty, dark sludge that was in that container? You have areas that have that nasty stuff in it. Those are the unattractive. Those are the unsuccessful. Those are the unproductive areas of life. And what is the difference in the two? Filled in the flesh, or filled with your flesh, or filled with the Spirit. What I believe is this. I believe all of us should be changing our lives for the better. Part of changing your life for the better is learning to let God expand into all areas of our life. Listen, many of you, you have some grasp on certain things of life. You know they're not so good. There are certain things that you would not do here at this church. You have an idea that it's not good to do. So you let the Spirit control you to a degree at church, but you'll do it at home. Sounds to me like you're letting the Holy Spirit fill your Sunday compartment, but not your Monday compartment.
Just think about it. What things would you say, well, I would never do this down at the church? Well, whatever that is, I'll bet that compartment's not full of the Holy Ghost. It's what makes the difference. Let me read to you one last time, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. He can take the workings of your life to a new level of success that you never imagined, but you got to be filled with that Spirit.